Be opening your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians. We'll be sharing some verses later in our lesson from the book of Philippians. I'd like to mention how much I appreciated Willie's memorial service yesterday and the family's leadership in that service. That was very special, and appreciate very much the opportunity to be a part of that and to experience that. Our sympathy, of course, goes to the Pelletot family. Tonight at Sunday night service at 6 p.m., the sermon is Organic Evangelism. If you will, evangelism without the additives. I think you'll enjoy this lesson. It'll have an opportunity for some give and take. It'll be part lesson, part class. So join us tonight at 6 o'clock, Organic Evangelism. This morning's lesson is on contempt and the quicksand of contempt. Because an attitude of contempt is a spiritual quicksand in our lives. It's far more deadly than we think. It's hard to climb out of. It gets a hold of us. An attitude of contempt can mire down our spirits and eventually consume us. Christ, of course, can rescue us from that contempt, but we have to recognize it and we have to respond to him. What is contempt? What is that defined as? What does it mean when I talk about contempt? Contempt ultimately is an attitude. It's easier to see in others than to see in ourselves. I don't see it in myself nearly as easy as I see it in others. And that's because I'm human like you are. And this is where we have to reflect deeply to recognize the contempt in our own hearts. It's easier seen in others when somebody rolls their eyes. Maybe you've seen that one. Or maybe they do this with their lip. Kind of like that. It's seen through a judgmental spirit. It's seen through a sense of moral superiority. A close synonym to contempt is the word disdain, a sense that I'm better than you. You see, a contemptuous attitude is more than questioning your judgment. Contemptuous attitude is impugning your character. And that's why it's such a deadly difficulty. I'd like to share something with a matter of opinion. But I see in our nation a growing polarization that's using contempt. It's not just that we're politically divided. Every era has had its political divisions. But we remember times when things were not as emotionally charged as they are today, nor as contemptuous as they are today. It's not just we've lost our civility, which we have. Maybe you remember the times when in a debate, someone would address their opponent, my esteemed opponent. Do you hear that anymore? I don't. What we're seeing is more than a loss of civility. It's more than a reduction of manners. What I'm seeing is contempt. We're assuming that our ideology is based on love and our opponents is based on hate. We're painting our opponents as bad people instead of misguided people. Or misinformed people. And this is happening on both sides of the political aisle. Many political postings on Facebook demonstrate this growing attitude of contempt. And as Christians, we must stand our guard against that attitude of contempt. The church is big enough to allow differing political views. But we must be united as brethren, respecting those who differ from us. Brethren, when we fight fire with fire, we both get burned. Let's not follow the world down the path hole of contempt. It's a deadly quicksand to our souls. But we also see contempt exercised in matters of religion. Now, I want to stand true for the faith. I want to discern God's truth from his word and stand for it. But we must do so in a godly way, not a contemptuous way. I have heard religious leaders, even within our brotherhood, use a contemptuous attitude toward those with whom they differ. I don't hold all the views of the Roman Catholicism and Mormonism and a host of other groups and cults, and you know that. I want to stand for God's truth in his word, but I don't want to be contemptuous about it. I can strongly differ with someone's theological reasoning, yet still try to respect them as a person. Sometimes we as Christians have used Satan's means to try to do God's work. I've heard preachers show contempt for those who disagree with them religiously in efforts to stand for God's truth. But we must stand for God's truth in a godly way. There's a third area I'll speak of, and that is in human relationships in general. Sometimes we're guilty of contempt in our human relationships. Complete this next sentence for me. I think you know it. Familiarity breeds. So you knew that then, didn't you? You knew that one. It's easy for us to have a judgmental or contemptuous spirit toward those that we're close to. An attitude of contempt toward your mate is a high predictor of divorce. And such contempt leads to emotional estrangement and makes progress in your relationship impossible. Contempt is that spiritual quicksand which we get stuck in our hearts, and it's deadly in relationships. If you have the habit of rolling your eyes and raising your upper lip or saying whatever an awful lot or all that kind of thing, those are signs of contempt. Recognize them. Contempt drives empathy from relationships and breaks the bond of love. You may notice I've not referenced Scripture yet in this sermon. I will. We're going there. But this is all a matter of introduction to getting to Philippians. But before we get to Philippians, we need to go through some other things. We need to recognize the importance of this topic, and I appreciate your kind attention to it this morning. Because contempt shuts down relational progress. Contempt kills opportunities for compromise. Contempt polarizes us. Contempt is that spiritual quicksand that destroys our hopes, our hearts, and our relationships. The origin of it is a judgmental spirit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 these words, "Do not judge or you too will be judged." The context of that verse, however, is sometimes ignored and wrongly applied, particularly by those of the world, that we are to have no sense of discernment. And that's not what Jesus is saying. Because Jesus continues, "In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you used, you will be measured too. Why do you look at the speck in sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own?" The best way to understand, as far as I'm concerned, Jesus' term, "do not judge," is do not be condemnatory. Do not hold others in contempt. Jesus is not against us evaluating things, being discerning. Jesus is against us having a contemptuous, judgmental spirit in our hearts. We Christians must be discerning, amen? There's a difference between good and evil. There's a difference between right and wrong, and we must recognize it. We dare not be like the world and say all choices are equal, because they're not. So let's be discerning, but not judgmental and contemptuous toward others. Now we begin with our text in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2, two ladies in the Philippian church are having a spat. They're not getting along very well at all. The text that Tyler read earlier in our hearing, Paul wrote, "I plead with Euodia and I plead with Synecdoche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, to help these women who have been contending at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." You know, usually we think the book of Philippians is an epistle of joy. Good church, good people. But in the midst of these good people and this good church, we got a problem. And the problem has gotten so great, the Apostle Paul, who is in prison in Rome, has heard about this spat going on between these two Christian ladies in the church in Philippi. So in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul says, "I plead with these two ladies to agree with each other in the Lord." Evidently, the problem was big enough to permeate the church and to get to Paul's attention in Rome. Whatever the disagreement may have been, these two ladies may have been caught in the quicksand of contempt. And I'm going to tell you why as we look in the text. And why do I suspect contempt is part of the problem here? I suspect it because of the solution that Paul gives. For example, when you go to the doctor and the doctor prescribes a particular medicine, even if you do not know the doctor's diagnosis, if you know what meds the person is on, you may know what problem they have by knowing what meds they're on, right? That's kind of what Paul's doing here. We look at the medication Paul gives to the Philippian church to deal with these two ladies, and we get a little bit of insight into what kind of spat's going on. I suspect, I cannot prove, but I suspect there was a problem with contemptuousness in their hearts. Let me explain why. Here's the bottom line. The solution, the medication, the prescription for contempt is humility. Because contempt and humility cannot coexist at the same time in our hearts, can it? Either our contempt will drive away our humility, or our humility will destroy our contempt. Amen? That's the way it works. They can't coexist. Guess what is a major theme in the book of Philippians? Humility. That's Paul's medicine that he's giving this church in Philippi, and how these ladies, how to deal with their situation. Humility is a major theme. Let's march to the text and see how Paul addresses this. Chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they're destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. Paul is telling us here that we're responsible. We are response-able. We're able to make a response in a situation. We're able to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We can practice what we preach. Amen? Paul's saying it's possible. You can do that. Don't be frightened in any way. Don't be frightened into non-Christian conduct. Don't be frightened into contemptuous attitudes by fear. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 12 to live in harmony with one another. And not to be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, and do not be conceited, and don't repay everyone evil for evil. You know those passages, don't you? In short, conduct yourself rather worthy of the gospel of Christ. Humility is to conducting ourselves worthy of the message of the gospel of Christ. And godly humility will drive out the spirit of contempt. In chapter 2 and verse 3 through 5, Paul wrote, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." And then Paul goes on to define Christ Jesus' attitude in verses 6 through 11, an attitude of humility. Humility is the medicine that drives away contempt from our hearts. And in Philippians, Paul is addressing the importance of humility. And I believe, I can't prove, but I believe he's addressing the situation in the Philippian church to say that's the way these ladies are going to get their act together. That's how they're going to come together, is through a sense of humility. That's how they're going to give up on contempt, if indeed that is the issue. Certainly, humility, the prescription, is evident in Philippians. Then take a look at 2:12. "Therefore, dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." We studied this verse about a month ago. We can't add anything to the blood of Jesus to atone for our sins, right? He paid a price on that cross. I can't add to that price. I can simply humble myself and be obedient to him. But the blood of Jesus is the price paid for my sins. So the salvation we work out in chapter 2 and verse 12, I believe, is the salvation of eradicating the sinful actions and attitudes of our hearts and our lives over time. And this includes, of course, the sinful attitude of contempt from our hearts. We never arrive. Our humility flowers over time, and the contempt begins to decrease. Chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul said, "Not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Now, question, if Paul has not yet arrived, if Paul's not yet perfect, does that give you a hint that maybe you and I aren't either? I think so, doesn't it? We're not arrived. We're not where we want to be. Praise God, we're not what we used to be. But we're not yet what we ought to be and want to be. We're still all on that journey. And that spirit of humility is the best antidote to the quicksand of contempt. That spirit that says, "I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. And that helps reduce the judgmentalism in our heart and our contempt toward others. Humility will allow God's Spirit to grow within us and become more like Him. And then we go to chapter 4 and verse 8, where Paul says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is admirable, think about such things. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things." And we've talked about this verse several times before. But we see here, Paul says, let's dwell on what's positive, not what's negative. If you want to find problems with somebody, you can find them. Let me tell you, you can find them with anybody, right? Nobody's perfect. If you go looking for problems, you're going to find them. But that contemptuous, judgmental spirit will not make you happy, and it certainly won't mend your relationships. Contempt, of course, dwells on the negatives we see on others. Contempt causes me to fixate on those negatives that I can't see the positives. A godly spirit is more balanced and recognizes the good in other people, as well as the bad. Contempt is that spiritual quicksand. And the deeper we go into it, the more it encumbers us and finally destroys us. And the remedy for contempt we've discovered is what? Humility, right? A good serving, a good old humble pie. Refusing to take an attitude of spiritual judgment into our lives against others. Now, humility is not thinking poorly of ourselves. Humility is not saying, oh, I can't do anything. I'm worthless. I'm hopeless. No, it's not a humility. Humility is taking the spotlight off of ourselves and putting it onto God and other people. Humility means I'm living outside of myself, and I'm not just thinking about myself. Philippians 2:4, remember that text? Have the same attitude in you that was in Christ Jesus. Look not only after your own interest, but also the interest of others. Remember that text? Humility is getting outside ourselves, so it's not all about me. It's seeing the big picture. I suggest to you, contempt, much like anger, is first an emotion and then a chosen attitude. And by that I mean, contemptuous thoughts are likely to go through your mind on occasion. If you're human, you'll probably have them. You'll have some of those negative thoughts, judgmental thoughts against others. The question is not, do they come into your mind? The question is, what do you do with them once you get them in your mind? Do you replace it with something else? Do you let the bad go and concentrate on the good? Contempt, like anger, is first an emotion, but then it's a chosen attitude. Emotions can come and go quickly, but attitudes are chosen, and they tend to solidify in our hearts, and that's where they cause the spiritual problem. There's a saying I've shared with you many times. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head. You can keep them from building a nest in your hair. You remember that one? That simply means this. Errant thoughts are going to come in my mind and yours. Maybe a judgmental thought comes in your mind. Preacher's preaching too long today. Whatever it was. Judgmental thoughts come into your minds. The question is not, do they come? The question is, do you let them stay? Or do you move them out in a hurry? We're all human enough, we probably have some of those thoughts come in our minds occasionally. But may God help us kick those thoughts out and dwell on what is positive and good and honorable and excellent and praiseworthy. Jesus said it this way, "You have been faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things." If you want to deal with contempt in your life, I suggest you start with some of the littler stuff. The big stuff is too heavy to deal with at first. Start with the little stuff. Now, I don't know about you, let me ask you this question. Are all the drivers in California perfect? Oh, I think maybe you've been on the same freeway I have. You know what? Every week, probably every day, there's some driver that ticks you off. Some driver that cuts in front of you. Some driver that does something stupid. Some driver that passes you and then slows down in front of you in order to exit. You know those kind of things happen all the time, don't they? Now, I have two choices. I can rant and rave and get into road rage. That's called contempt, by the way. That's an example of contempt, isn't it? Being judgmental, anger and disgust together. Or I can begin to let it go. Instead of calling the drivers idiots and morons, I got a challenge for you. Don't name them next week. Just let it go. Just let it go. It doesn't mean that life should be better. It should be better. It can be improved. And drivers can do better. But for your spiritual health, let it go. Don't fixate on it. And when you begin to get a handle on the little things of contempt, like some of the drivers on the freeways here, I think you'll have more success on the bigger issues of contempt. We've been studying a series of sermons in the book of Philippians. We've titled The Good Life. And I believe the Apostle Paul is laying out for us within this book something of the good life. How do we find the good life? It's in Christ, obviously. But he's talking about learning how to live in Christ, how to find joy and peace and life, how to live the Christian life. One of those points I would suggest is this: the good life is living a life free from an attitude of contempt toward others. Remember, those little arrows are going to hit you. Those little judgmental thoughts are going to hit you. The question is, what are you going to do with them? Are you going to massage them? Are you going to let them change into a hardened attitude? Or are you going to kick them out and say, I've got better things to do. I've got bigger fish to fry than to deal with this. The word contempt is not literally found in the book of Philippians, but I personally believe the subject may be behind the writing of this book. Two ladies in disagreement. Paul tells them to learn to get along. And the prescription he gives throughout the book is a spirit of humility. We may not know for sure what the disease is, but we know what the prescription is. And the prescription is you need a spirit of humility. And we do know that humility is what counters contempt. Very possibly these two ladies were dealing with that issue. Whether or not they were or not, the principles given still apply. But there's another type of contempt that we must be careful of, and extremely careful of, and that is contempt toward God. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 23, the Lord told Moses concerning the promised land, "No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it." You cannot be judgmental against God and expect to go to heaven. Amen? You just can't. God wants people in heaven who want to be there. Not people who don't like him, don't want to be with him. He wants people in heaven who love him, who want to be with him. That's why he yearns for us to choose him and choose to follow his spirit into his holiness. Sustained contempt toward God can keep us out of heaven. Now, I understand sometimes we get mad at God for a while. We can't stay mad at God and let it develop into an attitude of contempt, can we? You get mad at your husband or your wife. You get mad at your kids. You get mad at whatever. I understand that. Anger is first an emotion and then later it develops into a sinful attitude. We know that, right? The same is true with contempt. Those judgmental thoughts are likely to come in your mind. The question is not keeping them all out. The question is, what do you do with them when they come? You work on your humility and you get those ideas out and you replace it with something good and healthy. Because you're not in the business of judgment. God is. And only he has the ability to judge heaven and earth. Let's pray together. Father, as we see your Son in his glory, we see him in his love and his forgiveness. Father, we're drawn to his character. We want to be more like him, Lord. We fall short. Sometimes, Father, we fall into the habits of contempt, which we see growing in the world around us. Help us, Lord, to march to the beat of a different drummer, the drummer of Jesus in our hearts. Help us not to follow the ways of the world into a contemptuous, judgmental attitude which polarizes people instead of drawing them together. Help us, Father, instead listen to your Son and mirror his character in our hearts. Bless us and give us strength for the journey, Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning we want to close with the Lord's invitation. If you're not yet a baptized believer in Jesus, we want you to come to Christ. We want you to repent, be baptized, become a part of the Lord's kingdom. and grow your spirit under the Lord's leadership. That's what it means to be a Christian. It also means to be forgiven of the guilt of your sins. So on the day of judgment, you don't have to stand there and explain all of your sins to God because they'll be covered by the blood of Jesus. That's the way I want to be. I don't know about you. Covered by the blood of Jesus. This morning, if you need prayers of the body of Christ in this place, if we can help you in some way through the power of prayer, respond, come to the front, let us know how we can assist you. If you need to be baptized into Christ, we'd love to assist. Let's stand together and let's sing.